All right, it is a pleasure, as always, to be joined by a good friend. Wes Rucker does a fantastic job covering the Vols for 24/7. Wes, how are you today?
Well, fellas, I'm in the middle of the worst drive, I think, in the SEC, but other than that, I'm doing okay.
Well, safe travels, yes. I'm sure that is not a pleasant stretch, no matter where you are on it. Wes, you've been following this team all year long. Where do you think this season turned for the better?
I think it's pretty clear to say that the Mississippi State game was the turning point. You know, those first couple games defensively, when they didn't have guys like Petulli and Bryce Thompson out there, you know, when you don't have a lot of really good players, when you're missing two of them, that's really going to leave a mark. And I think those guys coming back helped solidify that defense. I think the offensive line got a little more, you know, unison, basically, or unity kind of as the season went on. They got used to playing together. And I think gradually they just kind of started figuring out that if they did what they were supposed to do, they could win games. You know, their margin for error is not large still, but it's gotten smaller, and they've learned how to kind of navigate within that. But I think that Mississippi State game, especially on the defensive side of the ball, really, really made them confident.
Earlier this week on the SEC teleconference, Jimmy Himes asked Jeremy Pruitt if he's made his decision on the starting quarterback, and Pruitt says, "We have." And the second question was, are you going to announce it? And he's like, no. Who do you think trots out there first for Tennessee tomorrow night?
Well, I'm not sure who's going to start there first, but I'll tell you, if Jared Garantano plays well, then he'll be the quarterback of record. You know, I know football coaches aren't normally as kind of worried about things like that as baseball coaches are. I know baseball coaches are real creatures of habit and superstitious. So it's weird to see that a quarterback's played a lot better off the bench than he has as a starter. I don't know if they'll keep going with that, though. I think they kind of feel pretty good about where Garantano's playing. So I think you'll see some of Maurer and Garantano, but I think Garantano will take, you know, most of the reps as long as he's out there playing well and he's healthy enough.
Who's had the greater single-season upgrade at quarterback, this story, Garantano or Jonathan Crompton a decade ago under Kiffin?
That's a great question. I probably would have to say Crompton.
I agree.
If you're talking about kind of a full season, but if you're talking about within a single season, it would probably be Garantano. I mean, Garantano has made some of the absolutely most baffling decisions I've seen from a quarterback early this season. And then aside from that Alabama hiccup, which was one heck of a hiccup, that play at the goal line. But aside from that, I think he's generally played pretty good football for them. And it's weird to see, you know, a guy, when you get put in a situation like he was, and you come to kind of go down to your lowest moment. It's kind of like one of those superhero origin stories, like where you kind of have to get to the bottom before you kind of start to understand things and pick things up and humble yourself and know what you need to do. And I think that really something like that kind of happened with him. You know, I think he just kind of looked in the mirror and said, I am not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I think ever since then, for the most part, he's done what he's supposed to do, and it's helped them win games.
Did this line surprise you Sunday when you saw that Missouri was a 7-point favorite? I know it's gone down to 3.5 now.
Yeah, it shocked me. You know, I still – excuse me, guys. This was a matchup early in the season, you know, through the offseason. Basically, as soon as Kelly Bryant said he was going to go there, I really didn't like this matchup for Tennessee. It's been a tough matchup for them the past couple of years. But then when you look at the way things have gone for the past, I don't know, 5-6 weeks for both of these teams, you just kind of say, well, if this were at Neyland Stadium, Tennessee might be favored to win this game. I thought – Tennessee might be like a 3-point underdog. I thought the line would open around a field goal, maybe. Maybe they'd say it was a neutral field pick'em, something like that. So to see it at 7, that really surprised me, and that was something that I did not see coming. And I think a lot of people didn't see it coming because that line moved really, really quickly. You know, that Tennessee-Kentucky line moved in a hurry, and so did that Tennessee-Missouri line. And it's weird to see Vegas might not know something. And it's weird because normally we always say, what do you know, Vegas? What do you know that we don't know? And with Tennessee a little bit lately, they just clearly haven't known.
You're listening to Wes Rucker. Does a great job covering Tennessee for 24/7 Sports, a alumnus of the Chattanooga Times Free Press. You're listening to Wes here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
So what time's your big SiriusXM interview there, Mr. Big Shot?
I think about 5 minutes after this one ends, probably. Something like that. It was weird because today I was getting in the car to go meet up with Patrick Brown, another former TFP for lifer, and we were gonna make this drive. And when I left my house, I had zero radio interviews scheduled for the day. And by the time I got to his house on the other side of town, there were three. So apparently these things come in threes. I don't know.
Popular
they,
dude.
They do. I mean, you're popular. You're good at it. God bless you. The how much – David asked you rightly about the growth of Jarrett at quarterback. Where would you gauge the growth of Jeremy Football, the nickname we've given Jeremy Pruitt here in Chattanooga, in terms – it's got to be kind of eye-opening because I know it is for me. You see him day-to-day. How would you gauge the growth of Jeremy Football?
You know, I kind of expected when Pruitt first got to Tennessee that he might be kind of underselling how difficult the job was because I've seen a couple coaches now do that where they take this job and they say, it's Tennessee. How bad could it be over there? And then they get there and they see it with their own eyes and they go, oh, wow, things are pretty bad here. And I think that he kind of went through that last year, and I think he learned some things about himself along the way because, you know, in Alabama, with all the depth they had, all those bodies, you just kept pushing and kept pushing and kept pushing those guys, and eventually you got championship-quality football out of them. Tennessee, you had to manage that situation differently. You know, you had some guys that needed some maintenance days. You had some guys that needed rest because they couldn't roll in as many bodies as you could at Bama. I think he learned a lot about having to kind of manage this situation last year and kind of how you have to deal with players who have some confidence issues and other things. I think he's probably learned as much or more about people than he has about football in the past year. And I think that you're starting to see the results of that because his relationships with his players are pretty good. All those guys seem to play hard for him. They seem to be buying into the system. And I think really a lot of that starts with him just kind of understanding what he needed to do better.
All right, I've never been a glass half empty kind of guy. The 7-5 I thought was the ceiling of what this team could be, and that would be a stepping stone forward. I think that's now within reach because I think they're going to play well Saturday, and I think Vandy's terrible. But
yes.
How in a million years, because I know you got to write it, because I know your readers are talking about it, but the difference between if you get out of the gate, like even just the blind man expects you to. I mean, 7-5 is a great finish, but you can't help but lament what should have been, in all likelihood, probably 9-3 if you get there. And I know that that sounds negative and over the top, but – in some ways, it's just like it's. I don't know. I mean, do you know what I'm saying? And I know this isn't a question. It's a terrible question, but it just feels.
No. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, I think that you know what's weird to me though is when you go butterfly effect on stuff like this. You know, would they have been able to beat Mississippi State and South Carolina if they hadn't gotten to that really low moment after that 0-2 start? You know, I'm not
sure.
Fair point. You know, sometimes, and I think for the long term health of this program. I think, you know, there are two kinds of seasons in football. There's ones where you win championships and ones where you don't. And this was never going to be a championship team. So I think the bigger story is just did the program take steps for the long run that are going to benefit it? And I think that in a weird way, the way that I thought they would get to 7-5, which is the record I picked, but I had no idea it would be like this. I mean, I was thinking after those first 2 weeks, my gosh, this could be a 3-win football team. You know, I mean, that was very much a possibility. And so when you look at it like that, then you say, okay, now that 7-5 starts to look better and you've learned more kind of about your guys. Because sometimes, you know, you really have to lose and you really have to get humiliated to kind of learn who you are, who your teammates are, and what you've really got. And I think in a really weird way, going through this 0-2 start, which, you know, Georgia State has played decent football throughout the season. That's not a bad football team. It's going to a bowl game. It's got a good quarterback. But I think you saw in those two games, when they don't have Daniel Bettuli and Bryce Thompson, they're not the same team. They're not as good, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But more importantly, I think if by going through that, it helps them in the long run, it will have been worth it. It will have been embarrassing. You know, that Georgia State loss is always going to hang over their head. But I don't think there's a lot of people at Tuscaloosa complaining about that La Monroe game anymore. You know, so if this thing goes
right
direction,
good point.
No one will care.
You're listening to Wes Ruckert. Does a great job covering Tennessee for 24/7 Sports. You're listening to Wes here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Wes, did it bring back memories when you heard that Derek Dooley described Missouri's offense earlier this week as football hell?
Yes, it very much did. And I got to be honest with you, there's a part of me that misses speaking with that man. I still talk to him occasionally, but obviously don't cover the guy on a daily basis anymore. So it's been different. It's interesting that he sometimes goes to these situations, and when things are going really, really badly, you will not find a better interview on this planet than that guy. He will tell you exactly what's going on, exactly how bad it is, and he will use incredibly colorful language to do so. So, yeah, it's interesting, and we were talking about reminiscing earlier. You know, this drive right here to Missouri, you go through southern Illinois, and, you know, another former TFA, as I was talking about, Pat Brown, he and I were talking about the last time we were in that stretch, we kind of had to get out of the car and do something because Butch Jones got fired while we were in the car. So, you know, there's all kinds of interesting memories on this trip.
All right, well, let's skip right over Butch Jones and go back to Jeremy Pruitt. His news conference the Monday after the Alabama game, when he was asked about the officiating, he gave about a 2.5-minute response. It was one of the most thoughtful things I've ever heard. It was the one that began with, you know, there are about 4 or 5 times a game where I complain, I go back and look at the tape, and I'm wrong. There are about 4 or 5 other times where I go back and look at the tape, and it was just, you wondered, I mean, because Muschamp was going through the same thing at South Carolina with the Florida game. Is the SEC about to levy a bunch of fines on these coaches? But, like, Pruitt was just as honest and as forthcoming as you could possibly be.
He was, and I'll tell you, I've learned this about Pruitt, too. If you ask Jeremy Pruitt a question about something he wants to talk about, you will get an absolutely outstanding answer. If you ask him a question that he has no interest in answering, he's going to tell you, I don't want to answer that, or I don't like that question, and he just won't talk about it, which sometimes is frustrating, but sometimes I at least appreciate the honesty. You know, I mean, if you learn, and it's like this with any coach, any guy you're covering, anyone you're around, there's ways you talk to them and there's ways you can ask them a question. And if you ask it the right way, you'll get a good response. But you're right. I mean, that stuff with the officiating, it's been rough. I think in the 2-week stretch, and it was just in 2 games, there were 6 touchdowns, either for Tennessee or against Tennessee in a 2-week stretch that were called incorrectly on the field. And there was another one on top of that that was really inconclusive, but they had to stick with the call because, you know, there just wasn't enough to overturn it. One of those ones that would have stuck either way. So when you've got 6 or 7 times in a 2-week stretch just with one team where goal line calls were called incorrectly, you've got a problem. I mean, they got something. I don't know if it's more cameras. I don't know if it's bringing in younger guys with fresher eyes. I don't know what it is. But they have a problem, and Pruitt's pretty honest about talking about it.
Wes, I know you like basketball just as much, if not more, than you like football. You've watched more Tennessee so far this year. I was able to watch that Murray State game, and especially that second half when they put a 47-19 or whatever it was. I mean, this team's not only good, but this team has to be fun to watch.
It is, and, you know, it's different because in this day and age, you know, you're kind of seeing a college basketball team look totally different on a year-to-year basis. But at Tennessee, for 3 years, it was kind of the same team.
Right.
You know, you just, all those guys came in together. They grew up together. 4 of them left for the league together. But I said this going into the year, and I said it now. That's why I laughed at people who didn't have them in the preseason poll and who had them kind of toward the middle of the SEC. Is I've seen a lot of college basketball, and if you don't think a team with a backcourt of Lamonte Turner, Jordan Bowden, and Josiah Jordan James is going to be good, you haven't watched a lot of college basketball. Because you can win with really good guards, and you can win at a pretty high level. I don't think this team will compete for any kind of a national title or anything like that. I think that might be coming in the future with this class they're bringing in, that they added to today even more. But I think that overall, you can win with small guys in this league if your guards are really good. And their guards are really good, and they got a chance to be a pretty good team.
I'll be honest, as someone, you know, who watched a lot of Auburn last year and their run to the Final Four when they got hot, I mean, guard play, when you've got great guard play, it makes for some fun TV viewing.
Oh, it does. And all 3 of those guys, you know, either are point guards or can play the point guard spot. So at times, it's almost like they got 3 point guards out there. And that helps you get into offense quicker. That helps you in transition. There's a lot of things that this team can do pretty well. Now, I'll tell you, my mind about this team, if they happen to get good news on Uros Plastic, which I'm not sure they will, but if they do, I'm telling you, that kid can play. That kid is a very athletic kid for 7'1", and he's going to be a problem for people. But even without him being able to play this season, if they don't get good news there, I think it's still going to be a fun team to watch.
Wes, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. Please tell downtown Patrick Brown hello for us. A couple of TFP legends riding together. We always appreciate it when you join us here on Press Row. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend in Mizzou.
I'll tell you guys, you know, it's cold and dark and lonely here in the Midwest, but you know what warms me up is TFP for life!
Wes Rucker, the one and only, always appreciate it. 648-1051 is the number. We'll revisit the Papa John's poll question when we come back. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.